The things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Morin.
All right. So big media thinks they can control what you think. And I am here, Michelle Morin, to tell you what the facts are so you can think critically on your own, as I know you are fully capable of doing. I don't have to control your thinking. And Colorado State Senator Kent Lambert is here on the show with us today talking about a very big deal. Senator Lambert sits on the Colorado State Joint Budget Committee. And on Thursday, that committee voted to defund the Civil Rights Commission. And Senator Lambert started explaining what that really means in the first segment. And he's going to continue explaining that to us now. Basically, tell me if I'm saying this right, Senator. Your Joint Budget Committee has six people on it, three Democrats, three Republicans. And for you to fund the Civil Rights Commission, typically, you need to have some kind of justification for it vis-a-vis a bill that would reauthorize the funding for that commission. And the Democrats didn't supply that. They didn't supply basically any information for you to run with in order to justifiably fund it. Am I right with that?
Well, almost.
almost. Go ahead and
most
pick that.
Of our work. Almost like the other nine divisions and Department of Regulatory Agencies that we saw on Thursday, they're not in this particular case when a whole division is actually, or the commission is actually defunded by statute. So technically, our vote didn't defund anything. It's already going to be defunded because in order to go forward, there must be a successful bill that becomes law before June 30th of this year. So, you know, I can't really take credit one way or the other for killing the division because it has to be reauthorized in statute.
Okay, I want to reiterate
then that. Then we can talk, you know, if we are sort of on the same sheet of music, then we can talk about the appropriation for that division.
Okay, so you really triggered something here because I'm looking at ColoradoPolitics.com, and the headline is JBC, your committee, votes to defund Colorado Civil Rights Commission. And you just clarified what that really is supposed to say, you said that the Civil Rights Commission isn't technically defunded by you at all. It's got to be funded by statute.
Well, it has to be authorized. It's kind of the difference between an authorization and an appropriation with money. But by statute, the commission will end on the 30th of June unless the legislature, not the Joint Budget Committee, but in case the whole legislature has a chance to discuss and review this and debate it and come up with a solution that gets through both the House, the Democrat-controlled House, the Republican-controlled Senate, and then would be signed by the governor.
Got it.
So that has to happen for the commission to exist next year, is my understanding of it. So that was sort of my first point. The second point is that since the commission was formed, there have been a lot of substantive issues as to whether or not they really are protecting the civil rights of all Colorado citizens.
Okay.
And, of course, one of the landmark cases of this was the Masterpiece Cake case that came before the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think where they are now is that they've already had oral arguments that are public record. Some of the justices have responded to, publicly to what they think about the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. And I think the formal decision by the Supreme Court is probably not going to be released until this June. So, but I think everything they've said is going to have to advise the Colorado legislature because I think the court decision will affect both the actions of the commission as well as the actions of the state legislature that authorized the commission in the first place.
How do you think that could affect the legislation that's going to come forward for the commission? Because my understanding is the commission is, it's supposed to be seven people, if I'm correct, and they serve four-year terms, but they're appointed by the governor?
That's my understanding, at least that they're appointed by the governor. But, you know, everybody is shouting this is not fair. Well, I think from the point of view of the legal system, and I'd say that this commission is definitely not part of the legal system. As you say, it's all appointed by one person with a political agenda. It's adjudicated also by the executive branch. It doesn't get adjudicated. We have what we call administrative law judges, which really work for the same department. So they don't even work for an independent judiciary. But there are dozens of questions about due process in this case.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the transparency? Where, like every other, almost every other government organization, why can't the news media go in and request the records of their proceedings?
Well,
we have what we call a Colorado Open Records Act. Why are they not subject to that?
Well, I'm looking at their website, and it says just what you're saying. Even on the Civil Rights Commission website, it says matters concerning investigations or appeals before the commission are confidential. It can only be discussed with the parties or their representatives.
Right. So, and that's a similar problem that we have actually with the Colorado Ethics Commission. We have people that are accused of ethical violations with a lot of press that are surrounding that, and then they may go into an inquisitorial panel for sometimes a year, and none of the conversations are ever subject to any kind of open transparency where the public can see what's going on. I mean, even a court hearing is open to the public.
But these commission hearings are not.
That's my understanding. That's correct. And there's also no right of appeal. Who do you appeal to? You appeal back to the commission. And if you have a court or a judge in any of these, it's an administrative law judge who works for the same department. So, you know, I think that's going to be the crux of some of the arguments here, that this does not follow any kind of protections of due process. It is not fair. It's not balanced, certainly, because of the individual appointments that the governor has made. It's not intended to really have a representative group of people. It certainly doesn't have a jury trial of the peers of anybody who's being accused. So when somebody has, suffered, a huge civil harm to this without due process, I think our court systems have to look at it and see, ask what the heck is going on here.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because I've got some notes in front of me here. I've got from the Civil Rights Commission website, it looks like there are sitting five commissioners. And like you said, they're not elected and they're not accountable. They're appointed. So they've got, because they're appointed, it's a bureaucracy that answers to really no one. And when you dig a little bit deeper, I'm showing two of the commissioners are actively involved in an organization called OneColorado.org. And I found that One Colorado, I'm on their website now, they claim to be the state's leading advocacy organization dedicated to advancing equality for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer Coloradans and their families. They also work to change the hearts and minds of everyday Coloradans on LGBTQ issues. And they lobby the General Assembly, the executive branch, and local governments on their issues. And doing a little bit of digging, we've got two current commissioners who are closely tied to One Colorado. In fact, I think one of them might be even on the board or former commissioners. It's kind of a web here. I'm showing that two former board members, looks like Heidi Jean Hess and Katina Banks, might have been involved in the Phillips or the Masterpiece Cake case, and they've been active on One Colorado, but also on the Civil Rights Commission. And I'm just not so sure how this is an organization, the Civil Rights Commission, that's actually trying to protect civil rights of all Coloradans. That's a statement you made earlier in the conversation, that that's their job. But I'm kind of getting the sense from just this little research here that the agenda is very, very finely tuned to advancing primarily LGBTQ issues, which goes back to the Masterpiece Cake case, where we've got unaccountable voices who are appointed by a governor who has his own agenda. And then they take this guy to task, Jack Phillips. And you're right. Have we heard any of the hearings that they conducted? I haven't found any transcripts.
Well, I think as the bill for reauthorization goes forward, these things need to be better understood and debated, which is one of the reasons why last week we just practically begged the chair of the Joint Budget Committee to table this until we had more information, or at least could see the bill that is starting in the House to reauthorize this commission. That was not to be, and they forced a vote, which surprisingly failed on a 3-3 vote. So it was certainly, and I think we made this very clear on the record, we were not calling for this vote. They were calling for the vote. And I think but on the substantive issues, I think when this goes through and has examination by our committees of reference, and we have lawyers, we have other people who are probably even more interested in pursuing the constitutional side of this issue than a budget committee. I mean, we authorize, we're supposed to be, spending things, or spending money on things.
Right.
This is a much more substantive issue, and if there's anything that gets the other 94 legislators in the Colorado General Assembly riled up, it's when the budget committee makes unilateral decisions like this, speaking for the rest of the body without that discussion. And we think we ought to have that discussion and find out, on a program like this, and what does the rest of the General Assembly want to do with this? So I think we need time to study this, to debate it, to understand what the objections are of the Supreme Court, even if they haven't come down with their final decision. Certainly the briefs from both sides of the issue have been presented. I think they've had oral arguments in the Supreme Court.
Well, speaking of
and that'll
Supreme
be sort
Court,
of a checklist to yeah. say, is this acceptable or not?
Well, speaking of the Supreme Court, we've got some audio from the oral arguments that took place in December, and I was very curious your take on them. We've got three audio clips from Justice Kennedy, and he's the swing, in my mind. Maybe I'm not a Supreme Court analyst, but in my mind, he's the swing. And to me, he came down pretty hard on the state of Colorado. Can we play one of those before we go to a break, Jason?
Well, and just in prefacing that, I know Justice Kennedy has been perceived as a swing vote on the whole homosexual marriage issue. I think that he was considered the swing vote on the Supreme Court when that happened, and he voted in favor of gay marriage. So that makes things interesting. That was pretty weighty, but I think we have to understand where he's coming from when he makes these comments.
Okay. Jason says we don't have time to play the audio, so we're going to go to a break, come back, play some of the Supreme Court hearing, the oral arguments. Actually, not the oral arguments. We're going to hear from Justice Kennedy. And I'm really curious your take, Senator, on where you think this is headed. Nobody knows for sure, but how you think it could affect the legislation that's coming for the Civil Rights Commission here in Colorado. We will do that when we come back on the Michelle Horn Show.